From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been studying the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Today, he is continuing a message that actually is based on the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12, for the spirit of chapter 11 carries over into the next chapter. The message is entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. The imagery is of a great sporting event, such as the Olympics, in which the saints in heaven are characterized as that great cloud of witnesses. As Dr. Cairns has been explaining, the connotation is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who cheer for those who compete. From the text, we'll see that believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling, and the thought of those heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best so that we obtain that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 52 and verse 8. The mercy of God. Meditate a little on this mercy of the Lord. It is tender mercy. With gentle, loving touch, He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He is as gracious in the manner of His mercy as in the matter of it. It is great mercy. There is nothing little in God. His mercy is like Himself. It is infinite. You cannot measure it. His mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time, and then gives great favors and great privileges, and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. It is undeserved mercy, as indeed all true mercy must be, for deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice. There was no right on the sinner's part to the kind consideration of the Most High. Had the rebel been doomed at once to eternal fire, he would have richly merited the doom. And if delivered from wrath, sovereign love alone has found a cause, for there was none in the sinner himself. It is rich mercy. Some things are great, but have little efficacy in them. But this mercy is a cordial to your drooping spirits, a golden ointment to your bleeding wounds, a heavenly bandage to your broken bones, a royal chariot for your weary feet, a bosom of love for your trembling heart. It is manifold mercy. As Bunyan says, all the flowers in God's garden are double. There is no single mercy. You may think you have but one mercy, but you shall find it to be a whole cluster of mercies. It is abounding mercy. Millions have received it. Yet far from its being exhausted, it is as fresh, as full, and as free as ever. It is unfailing mercy. It will never leave you. If mercy be your friend, mercy will keep you in temptation to keep you from yielding. With you in trouble, to prevent you from sinking, with you living to be the light and life of your countenance, and with you dying to be the joy of your soul when earthly comfort is ebbing fast.
Return
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Thank you. I can certainly attest that the memory of great men has a salutary effect. I was saved as a young boy in the Salvation Army in the city of Belfast, the central citadel core of Belfast. I am sure every Salvation Army hall has this. I'm not certain, but I'm sure they would have it. I can still see that old building. Walking up the long hallway, going into the fairly large auditorium, and you had pillars supporting a balcony, as far as I remember. Not that I ever got up there, but certainly was holding up something. And over on the wall, they had this picture of an old man. And I never remember walking into that Salvation Army hall without looking at that picture. It seemed to rivet your attention. It was a picture of William Booth, that venerable patriarch of Salvationism. When you looked at that man's picture, I want to tell you, it put fire in your heart. And even as a young fellow, I felt that. It put a determination in your soul. It made you realize what I'm doing is worth doing. The battle I'm in is worth fighting. The race I'm running is worth running. And the cause I am serving is the cause of all causes. It's worth spending and being spent in. Now, if one picture of William Booth could impart, even to a little boy, such a feeling, how much more will an understanding of Hebrews 11 encourage God's people to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So today I want us to think of this great cloud of witnesses. I don't think I really need to say this, but just in case there is some super literalist among you, the cloud is a picturesque way that the scripture uses fairly frequently to speak of great crowds. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians 4, describing what some people mistakenly call the rapture, which is not given the etymology of the word, not the greatest idea for 1 Thessalonians 4. It's the gathering of God's people to meet the Lord in the air. But whatever you call it, we're caught up not in the clouds. That would be redundant, given what is also said in the verse, but we're caught up in clouds. We're caught up in great unnumbered myriads. We're caught up in all the many millions of the people of God to meet the Lord in the air. The word clouds is a word that speaks of great numbers. We're going to look at the clouds of witnesses and what they have to say to us. First of all, let me remark that they teach us the nature of our calling in Christ. We are to run the race. Our calling is to run a race, and to run it with patience or with perseverance. Let me remark right away that faith in Jesus Christ is expressed by works. You're not saved by works, but you'll not be saved without them. That's what the Epistle of James teaches. You're not saved on the merit of works, but if you're saved on the merit of Christ, you'll work. If you're a new creature in Christ, there's going to be fruit for it. I have absolutely no time for this nonsense that is being foisted on fundamentalism today under the disguise of grace, that tells a man you simply make up your mind and make a decision, and it doesn't matter if there's any fruit in your life, if there's any change in your life, we assure you you're going to heaven. Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And if you're not a new creature, you're not in Christ. It's as simple as that. You're not a perfect creature while you're in the flesh, but you're a new creature. There's a work of grace that has taken place. Faith that does not produce works, James says, is a dead faith.
And if anybody thinks that he gets spiritual life from a dead faith, he's a psychiatric case. It's impossible. You cannot be saved by dead faith. Faith in a living Christ is a living faith. It is a fruitful faith. It's a productive faith. In other words, when you have faith in Christ, you run the race. Faith worketh. That's what Paul said to the Galatians. It works by love. Love is its mighty motivation, but it works nonetheless. We're called to run this race, therefore. Now, the race we're running, and this is for our encouragement, is over a predetermined course. I want you to get this very clearly. It's very simple, but it does give very practical help to Christians in varying times of trouble. Our course is a prescribed course. Prescribed simply means pre-written. It is a course that God has set. In other words, our times, our circumstances, our trials, our troubles, our pains, our aches, our sorrows, our bereavements are all in His hand. This prescribed course has a predetermined end. In other words, there is a goal. There is a finishing line. And to quote again the words of Philippians 3, we are called to forget the things that are past, to look forward to the things that are to come, and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This race is not a sprint. You may go as fast as you wish, but it's not a sprint. You will not dash for 25 yards, 50 yards, or 100 yards and say, thank God, that's my race over. Now I can meander for the rest of my life. That's not the way it is. It's more of a marathon. I must say that I have a great admiration for marathon runners. I don't have the physique to be a marathon runner. In fact, I neither have the age nor the physique to run more than the length of myself. But anyway, and that's not very long, I can tell you. If it were round now, that may be a marathon, but you'll notice I didn't say that. A marathon race is one that I stand in awe of. I think of two great marathon runners, two of the greatest runners in the history of athletics, suffering a similar fate, running for the vast majority of that course, ahead of the field, ahead of the record pace. Nobody had ever run a marathon in their day like these men. And one of them, within, 100, 200 yards of a finishing line of a course that was 26 miles, 385 yards long, staggering, falling, getting up again, and falling, dehydrated, and then finally collapsing, not finishing the course, makes me understand the folly of people who simply look back and say, I used to run well. Running well in the past is fine, so long as it's not an excuse for giving up running now. Forgetting the things that are past, what use to a marathon runner that he says, look, I run the first 10 miles and it was wonderful. What use to an athlete today who says, oh, but 5 years ago I was on top, I was able to run every race and beat all the competition, but today I can't do it. You know, that's easily done. I remember a British athlete who entranced the whole of Britain and enchanted them, and undoubtedly one of the greatest runners ever to go on the track in middle distance running. and indeed in long distance running. And Bruce Tullow hit the track. He was unbeatable. He took on the world's greatest athletes and decimated the field. This frail little body pounding round the track, nobody could beat him. There came a time when Bruce Tullow could not beat himself. And it was a sad and a tragic thing to see this finely tuned athletic machine get on a track and run and then just drop out. The mental toughness had gone. He could think back to what he was, but that was not much help in what he had to be today. A lot of Christians like that. I have met Christians like that. They look back. Oh, I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to be very diligent in the prayer meeting. I used to be very diligent in the study of the Word of God. I used to make sure that I gave my testimony. I used to go after souls. I used to do this. And I used to do the other thing. But today, I'm making no progress in the work of God. Forget the things that are past. Your successes, thank God for the grace that gave them, but don't rest upon your laurels. Your failures, put them under the blood. And looking forward to the great goal that is before you, with your eye upon the Christ of God and the goal that He sets before you, run with patience the race that is yours to run. You'll see immediately that such a race requires all the concentration of all your energies. It requires a great and vigorous exertion, and it requires total commitment. You read Hebrews 11 again. Look at those men, starting from Abel, right the whole way through the Old Testament. Do you not see that with all their faults and failings, and they had them, yet there was a concentration of energy and of output for the one great thing that really mattered. That's the nature of our calling. Christianity is not a part-time job for any man of God. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. We have got to the place of thinking that full-time service belongs to ministers and youth ministers and missionaries and people who are on the staff of a church. Yes, they have a full-time job, but so do you. It was Bob Jones Sr. who emphasized that ultimately to the Christian there should be no distinction between the secular and the sacred in employment. In other words, all we do must be consecrated to Jesus Christ. And in the daily round, in the common task, we are to see opportunities to serve Christ. All our energy is to be given to the work of God and to the honor of the cause of Christ. So that whatever we do unto Him and for His glory. There's vigorous exertion here. It costs. It really costs if you are going to run with patience the race that is set before us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.